With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Denver's home for today's comedy, Comedy 103.1. It is Big Mike. Excited to get this man in studio. You might have seen his many comedy specials. You might have seen him actually recently. He was on the late night show with Stephen Colbert. This weekend, you can see him at Comedy Works South at the Landmark. We got Gary Goldman. What's up, man?
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I'm just blown away that we don't have this in New York City. We don't have a 24/7
really?
Comedy station. No, not that I know of. I think it's such a great idea and something I wish I had growing up. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I might have to pitch this. I might have to get it over to New York.
Yeah, you should, man.
There's a big comedy scene in New York, right?
There's a huge comedy scene there in New York, and if you just had all the comedians listening, you'd have a huge audience.
Right, yeah.
There's so many comedians there right now.
Well, welcome to Colorado, then. Welcome to Mile High City.
It is a pleasure. I had a show last night, and the audience was fantastic. It was nearly sold out, so I was really excited.
And that's how, you know, it's a good comedy town on a Thursday night when you can have
Almost
packed house and everybody comes out. You know, people here love comedy.
Yeah, they really do. It's a great comedy town, and they're, you know, I had great comedians opening for me. Adrian and Chris Voth opened for me last night.
Oh, great.
They were great.
So how you been, man? What's been going on?
I've been good. I've been busy. I just been trying to get out of bed at a reasonable time. A lot of times with all the road work and the radio and everything, my schedule, my circadian rhythms get all messed up.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, I'm waking up at hours that are when I don't have to wake up for radio or to travel, I'm waking up at these hours that are just like hours somebody who worked nights would find unbearable. Waking up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh gosh! Like,
oh my god! Half my day is gone, and just trying to play catch up the rest of the day. So it's really hard. And then it's not enough to just wake up. You have to also get up.
Yes.
And do the things. And the successful people have no idea what we're talking about. They wake up. They get up. They get right out of bed. They shave. They shower. They eat breakfast.
This is all before 7 o'clock in the morning.
All before 7 o'clock. If I do any of those things during the day, I consider that an enormous victory.
Exactly.
If I can shave or shower, I'm just like, wow, what a productive day.
Even if it's at 6 o'clock at night, it's a productive day.
I know. I feel that way.
And I imagine because you're all over the road from New York to California. I mean, that doesn't help either. You know?
No, that doesn't help. And when I have to make that 2 or 3 hour jet lag change, that's coming back east is always brutal. And I'm just I'm in tears from the jet lag.
Yeah, yeah. The waking up part's not hard for me. The getting up part, like getting up today. Like if you weren't going to be here, I might have been a little late for work. Yesterday, I was like, I got like this, you know, kind of notification on Facebook saying, try a free week at Fit 36 or whatever. I was like, I'm gonna go to this place.
Oh, and, good,
you know,
for
guys,
you.
It's like one of those interval training things. That, oh man, I should have prepped my. I should have done some pre-workouts
for
a few months. Oh yeah, because I mean I can barely move right now. But like, so I got done with it. I'm like, I'm not coming to this ever again. But as I'm walking, everybody's like high-fiving me, like, you did great. And I'm like,
wow.
Thanks. And every single woman there is gorgeous and making me feel good about myself. She's like, you should come tomorrow at 6 a.m. I'll be there. I'm like, it didn't happen, by the way.
No,
I was asleep. 6 a.m. is too early for me.
6 a.m. is too early to do anything. I can't even function at that hour.
So I'm thinking I'm going to go back to Fit 36 tomorrow, try it a second time. You know, maybe I'll give a membership a go, you know.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah.
Or Fit 36 could just give me an endorsement. Or anyway. Getting into comedy is not an easy means by it's not easy by any means, but staying in it, I imagine, is harder. You're celebrating 20 years, of doing stand up.
Yeah, at this point, I'm doing it over 20 years, and making a living probably for about 15 or 16 of those years. It took a while to ramp up, and I had a lot of odd jobs. I worked at Starbucks, and I was a substitute teacher, and I actually taught at the high school that I went to, so I was able to interact with a lot of the teachers that I had and everything like that, and it was really
so you were working
really
with
cool.
people that had, who had taught
yeah and I think they thought that I would seek bigger fortunes than the $45 a day I was getting paid to substitute teach at the school, but they were really cool, and it was great to see them on the other side of the teacher's lounge. It was really cool.
Did you almost feel like you shouldn't have been there? Like,
right.
You felt like you were
I didn't
the wrong
feel,
place.
Yeah, I didn't feel comfortable calling them by their first names. I still called them Mr. Mr. Story and Mr. Olix. Yeah, it was really wild. But I was able to develop a pretty good rapport with the students, and I still have students who come to my shows. They're in their 30s now, and they have families of their own. But it's pretty cool to have that in my background and to see those kids grow up. Yeah.
Do you remember that first time? You got on stage to do stand up. Do you remember the very first time and like what it felt like? And
I'll never forget it. I was so cocky. I just thought I was gonna immediately sprint to stardom. And it took me years to really figure out what I was doing, and I was so inept for so long. And when you first start out, you'll take any gig, just anything in front of a bar. I remember just standing in front of a bar, not on a stage at a bar, in front of the bar with a wireless microphone and trying to entertain these people who really could not be bothered by it.
They just wanted a drink.
Yeah, they just wanted a drink and not have a comedian in their face. And it was but that was like a good gig back then to get.
How'd you do on your first show?
I did pretty well. I remember I did a lot of impressions. I did the impressions du jour of that time, which were like De Niro and Seinfeld and Kramer. So I did those.
So the ones of today too. the ones of today too.
People are still doing those. Exactly. That's sad. That's sad. But I did those, and the audience was very supportive.
I was gonna say a lot of the comedians that come here. A lot of them say their first show was actually pretty good. And like, I haven't heard too many bomb stories on the first one. And I imagine that was the case, because if they bombed the first time, a lot of them probably would have gave up.
Yeah.
So, you need that first one to just give you a little bit of, confidence, even if your other ones don't go as well.
Yeah, I'm grateful, because I don't know that I would have had the wherewithal to continue had I had a bombing experience. I probably would have said, oh, this isn't for me, and just ran away with my tail between my legs. So I'm lucky.
Yeah. Comedy itself over these last few decades has overgone a major transformation. One thing, I mean, you're well aware of is Netflix, because I mean, you have some specials on there as well. What are some of the biggest changes, both for the positive and the negative, from when you started doing comedy to what you see today?
There are much more many more outlets for comedians, and you can get on TV easier. I mean, the only thing is that I guess when I was first starting out, there were only a handful of television channels that were putting on TV sitcoms and things like that, and now there are a lot more avenues, but you don't get as famous from being on a sitcom, so that you see that it's just there's so many other options for television
and
now.
Hulu and Amazon, they're doing their own shows now.
They're doing their own thing, so there's so many options, but at the same time, it's harder to get really well known. But then again, there's YouTube and a lot of the shows at late night, they show your clip from your stand-up on YouTube or on Facebook the next day, so you get another shot at it and people can see you. So you don't get quite as famous in one shot as you would, but there are more opportunities to get a second bite at the apple, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have Gary Goldman. He's going to be at Comedy Works South at the Landmark. Get your tickets at comedyworks.com while you can. It's going to be a beautiful weekend for comedy. And, one thing, like I talk about Denver, there's a lot of stand-up here. And there's a lot of comedians that are, there's a lot of people that have always wanted to try to get in comedy. They're doing open mic nights. Comedy Works has an open mic night. And, for people that are trying to get their foot in the door nowadays, do you have any advice,
I think it's one of those things. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, and that first step is to get on stage. That's the hardest one, is to do your first open mic, because there's so much build up to that, and you've told yourself you can do it, and then to actually do it and get up there and write some things down, and then after that, if you enjoy it, if you really love it, you can't really fail, because there are plenty of opportunities for people who are trying to come up and get good at it. You can really, especially from what I hear of the Denver scene, there are a lot of venues that support live comedy. So it's really a great time to be starting.
Get on the stage and support, because like, I work at a sister station, so we'll do a concert summer jam every year. I can go on stage in front of 17,000 people and rock and be fine. We Comedy Birthday, you go on stage and you're sitting there and you see the crowd right in front of you. That could be intimidating. And I'm sitting there, I was sort of like you the first, like I was confident. I was going on stage. I'm going to introduce it. I was like, holy moly, they're right there, they're looking right at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can see their eyes, all of them. And it's like, yeah, that could be quite intimidating. And I wasn't even doing a set. I was just trying to say hello.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to remember your content and all that. I could only imagine. It's yeah.
Yeah, and you never know how a joke is going to go over. You could be rubbing your hands together. Oh, I can't wait to tell this one. And then it just falls flat. And it's like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what people like. Yeah.
Well, I imagine, like, depending on where you are, a Barack Obama or a Donald Trump joke will go different in different parts of the country.
Yeah, and, yeah, you know, it's
like,
true.
You true. Never know what you're going to get. So.
Yeah, the audience is so different. I'm lucky in the past couple of years I've had audiences that kind of know what I do, so they're more familiar with the way I perform and the length of the jokes, and so they're more comfortable with me. But I still do some shows where it's like half and half, and half the people are like, why does he take so long to tell these jokes? These stories are so long. It's different.
That's a beautiful thing about comedy. There's so many different varieties of it. Everybody has different tastes, and there's somebody out there that can make you laugh, even if you're the most unlaughable person in the world, or you have no sense of humor. Somebody can make you giggle, even if it's just looking at yourself in the mirror. So what's next for you, man?
I'm gonna go back to New York on Sunday, and I am going to take 2 weeks off.
Okay.
I've been on the road every weekend since September.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so I'm gonna take a couple weeks off and rest up, and probably do some shows in the city. There's some great venues there. The Comedy Cellar, for one, that you can get up on a weeknight and just perform in front of 100 or so, 200 people, and it's really helpful to building an act and improving and figuring out what you want to do on stage.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for making time for us here at Comedy 103.1.
It was my pleasure. I've been looking forward to coming to Denver for a long time, so I'm really excited about playing the Comedy Works.
Oh, it's going to be a great... Well, you did it last night, and it's going to be even greater this weekend. And like I said, if you want to be a part of it, you got to go to comedyworks.com, get your tickets, because these things sell out fast. Get them right now. Check out Gary Goldman this weekend. Comedy Works, south of the Landmark.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.